I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the 25th chapter. Jesus is teaching the disciples. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O great and generous God, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to worship you. And we thank you especially for the gift of your holy word. And we ask now that as your word is proclaimed, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our Savior and our friend. Amen. The gospel lesson this morning from the gospel according to Matthew is some of Jesus' last teachings to the disciples before he goes to the cross. He's already made that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And now he sits with the disciples on the Mount of Olives and he tells them about how best to live in the present age. In fact, he's told them also about the end times. He's told them about what will happen, that there will be cosmic events, that there will be persecutions, that there'll be suffering, that there'll be false prophets. And as you can imagine, the disciples wanted to know from Jesus, when would this all happen? When will this be? Throughout the ages, people want to know when that end is going to happen. When will it occur? And many people have spent long years trying to calculate the date of that last day. Jesus reminds them and reminds us that no one knows. You can't predict it. There's no timetable. That is truly in God's hand. But there are some things that you can do. There are some things that you can do, and it's not about knowing that date. It's about how to live in the present. Just prior to the parable about the 10 bridesmaids, Jesus tells another parable. He tells a parable about a master who's gone away and left his servants in charge. And he's left them in charge, knowing that he will return someday and check on how the work's going. Well, those servants have abused their power. And at a time when they least expected it, Jesus, the master, did return and found them not at their best behavior, but at their worst. And in that parable, there's terrible consequences to not being the best they possibly could be on the day of Christ's return. In the parable verse this morning, it's not that the master has come suddenly or has come earlier than expected, but the bridegroom, the master, Jesus, his coming has been delayed. For Matthew's audience, for those who would have first heard this parable, for those disciples who have waited, who have been present and have heard of Jesus' death and resurrection, they think Jesus' return is imminent. Jesus will return in their lifetime. And so it's been delayed. It hasn't happened when they thought it would. And Jesus tells this parable to remind them of how they live in that time of waiting. How they wait and watch. What is their response? What should they do in this in-between time? In that parable, we have 10 maidens. 10 bridegrooms, 10 bridesmaids, one bridegroom. And in that parable, all 10 are equal in the beginning, even though Matthew has already distinguished between the wise and the foolish. But 10 friends of the family have been invited to have that purpose, and it's an honor to welcome the bridegroom and to escort the bridegroom into the wedding festivities. And so they have this honored position. All 10 have their lamps with them. All 10 are ready to do what they need to do when the bridegroom comes. All 10 fall asleep. All 10 take a nap because the bridegroom is delayed. They're not anxious about when the bridegroom will come. In fact, they probably are not even concerned about what the hour will be until that hour comes. And when that hour comes at midnight, all 10 rise up to do their duty, to do what they're called to do. All 10 have their lamps, but only 5 were really prepared. Only 5 were really prepared for the long haul. The other 5 were ill-equipped. They, on their timetable, they thought that the bridegroom would come while they still had enough oil for their lamps. They weren't prepared for the long haul. They weren't ready for a delay. They weren't ready to wait. And so they did not bring extra oil for their lamps. And so when they rise up and they're ready to trim their lamps and to be ready to do what they've been asked to do, only 5 are able to fulfill that task. The other 5 have to run off in the hopes of finding more oil. Now they asked their sisters if maybe they would share some oil. And at times you might think that those 5 wise maidens were being very selfish, that they wouldn't share that extra oil. But truly they needed that oil to continue to be obedient to the task before them. And if they were to share, all 10 would not have been ready. So it wasn't about selfishness, it was about having the resources that you needed to do what was asked of you. The resources needed to be obedient. The resources needed to be ready. Now you know from the parable that the 5 who are called foolish go out and they finally do find oil for their lamps. And they come back to the wedding festivals, which are already well in place. The door is shut. Not only shut, the door is barred to them. It's barred to them. They call out, "Lord, Lord." They know the bridegroom. And the bridegroom does not let them in because the bridegroom says, "I don't know you. I don't know you." They're left out of the joyous celebration because in that waiting time, they weren't ready. They didn't do what needed to be done to be prepared. There's a little story that's been told about Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer, you may recall, was the United States chess player who beat the Soviet Union chess player, Boris Spassky. Now, you might not know is what he did to get ready for that chess tournament. What he did was he got ready for that contest by swimming laps underwater every day. You might ask, what does that have to do with playing chess? Swimming laps underwater every day. But Fischer knew that as the chess matches wore on into the late hours, the player with the most oxygen going to his brain would have the mental advantage. So he built his chess game by building his lungs. He built his chess game by building his lungs. When he defeated Spassky, many were surprised by his astonishing wit and mental staying power, especially late in the matches when both players should have been weary and burned out. But Fischer was prepared. Fischer was prepared for the long haul. What is it that we need to do to be ready for the long haul? What is it that we need to do to be ready, especially when time might be short? It's a hard lesson to know that when Jesus returns that we might not find ourselves ready. But the truth is, each of us as individuals have our own spiritual resources that we need to have with us, that we need to have prepared for when the time comes. And that time might not only be the time of Christ's return. It might be the time of an opportunity where a door is open to us. It might be the time of a personal physical challenge. Are we ready for that? It truly might be the time of the end of our lives. But what do we need to be ready? What do we need to be prepared? It's really dependent on us to know what it is that we need for the living of these days. What will strengthen us? What will give us the stamina? What will support us? Is it prayer? Is it scripture? Is it working in community? What is it that we need to do to be ready for the long haul? One of the things that we are always reminded of, and this parable makes the point of, is it's not enough just to know about Jesus. It's not just enough to know his name. It's not just enough to say, I know who God is, I know who Jesus is, I believe in them. That needs to be put into action. In our time of waiting and watching, what do we do to respond? How do we share what we believe? What is it that we do to make Jesus known? How do we strengthen our own belief system? This week at our weekly women's prayer group, Linda Hulsinger brought an article out of the Web Weekly. And it was an article written by Tim Hartzell, who's a pastor in Williamsport. And in his article, he had a little story about a man who spent most of his life walking across Niagara Falls. And as the story goes, during the winter of 1858, a 34-year-old man named Charles Blowden stretched a tightrope over Niagara Falls and walked across. That year, he made quite a few crossings, each time adding gimmicks to excite his audience. One time, he even carried a stove to the middle of the falls and cooked an omelet. He then lowered the omelet by rope to some audience members watching his antics from the Maid of the Mist. At one point, he carried his manager, Harry Colcord, on his back across the Cavernous Divide. Imagine being that guy. In all, historians estimate that Blondin crossed Niagara Falls 300 times. On one crossing, Blondin pushed a wheelbarrow ahead of him. When he reached the opposite side, he yelled to the audience, "How many of you believe I could cross with someone riding in the wheelbarrow?" The crowd cheered wildly and affirmed their belief that he could do it. Then Blondin asked for a volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow. Complete silence. While the entire crowd believed that Blondin could do it, not one of them was willing to surrender to that belief and climb into the wheelbarrow. Hartzell goes on to say, "Belief in its truest form requires surrender. Without surrender, belief is empty. What good did believing do for Blondin's audience? Their belief didn't change their lives. Their belief did nothing for them. Without surrender, their belief allowed them to enjoy the show, but it didn't change their lives one bit. Had one of them surrendered to their belief and climbed into the wheelbarrow, they would have had the ride of a lifetime. Seriously, their life would never have been the same again." How many of us are willing to get into the wheelbarrow? How many of us are willing to put our beliefs into action? We've spent time this last few weeks talking about chisel, God's chisel, becoming God's masterpiece. And after we've allowed God to do all that hard work in our lives, what do we do next? What do we do next? How do we take the gifts that God has given us and put that into action? That's what Jesus wanted the disciples to learn in those parables about the end time. It wasn't so much eschatology, end time teaching, as it was about ethics, how to live. How do you live in the here and now? How do you put your beliefs into action? How are you prepared for the long haul? You prepare for the long haul by strengthening your belief and by putting those beliefs in action. Lindsay Armstrong, writing in Feasting on the Gospels, writes this: "Often we presume that we have all the time in the world to tend certain matters, rebuilding a broken relationship, learning a skill, offering a needed word of gratitude or forgiveness, replacing a bad habit with a good one, achieving an important goal, changing careers, deepening in our relationship with God, contributing to society, spending time with a child, faithfully following Christ. We put off for today that which can presumably be done tomorrow." She goes on to say, "Now is the time for active discipleship, and every moment we can sense the ticking of the clock or the closing of certain doors. The kingdom of heaven summons us to new life, improved commitment, casting away of false idols, active waiting and hope, and renewed vigor and faith. Jesus taught in parables in order to teach the secrets of the kingdom. One of the secrets taught by Matthew 25:1-13 is that faithful action done now prepares us to weather the unexpected timing of God, even as it prepares us for a heavenly celebration. When Jesus and his people are joyfully joined together in celebration forever, the Messiah comes at the right time, which is altogether better than coming at the convenient time or on our time. And he brings a party with him. Will you be ready? Are you ready? Amen.